Well, hey, Dean Milekers, welcome to the show where it's all about financial freedom with real estate. Let's do this.
You're listening to the Financial Freedom with Real Estate Investing podcast, hosted by Garrett Lynch and Michael Blanc, where we talk all about how you can achieve financial independence through apartment building investing. Whether you're just starting out or you want to scale your syndication business, this is the show for you.
In this episode, we talk with two power ladies, Masha Kruskal and Ahuva Druin, who actually did their first deal together. And we actually had them at DealMaker Live and shared some stage time. And we're going to do this today. We're going to drill down on their deal, how they found it, how they raised the capital for it, how they got it all done. And so we're going to get to that in just a second. I'm going to give a shout out to Al Perez, who left us a review on Amazon for the Yellow Book. He says, I enjoyed the book. It gives away a lot of information. I recommend it to anyone interested in investing in multifamily. Thanks for that so much. If you haven't read the book yet, check it out on Amazon. It's called Financial Freedom with Real Estate Investing, the same as this podcast. It's a great introduction into the world of syndication, raising capital, and really creating financial freedom with real estate investing. So we'd love to hear from you if you have read the book, and we'll give you a shout out maybe here on the next podcast as well. Want to shout out anyone who has done a deal. And we have a Freedom Hall of Famer today, Oleg Shalumov. And Freedom Hall of Famer are those people who actually have quit their job and become full-time in this business. That's what we love most. That's what we help people do their first deal. And he closed on another 36 units, this time in Scottsburg, Indiana, valued at $3.3 million. And Oleg's mentor was Josh Sterling. So thank you for your service, Josh, on helping Oleg quit his job as well. If you have done a deal, then contact us at support@themichaelblanc.com or tag us on social media, TheMichaelBlanc, and we'd love to shout you out as well. So today we're talking about Masha and Ahuva and how they partnered together. And it kind of brings to light the three freedom accelerators. These are people who somehow managed to get a first deal done faster. And that first deal is actually much bigger than you think you would be comfortable with. And it's because, and I call them the three freedom accelerators. And so they've taken advantage of these freedom accelerators. And the one is, you know, just following the right system. So right now our system is called DealMaker Blueprint, and it's been around since 2014. And, you know, there's no need to reinvent the wheel. And so they knew that, and as many others. And there's other, I'm sure, fantastic systems out there. Find one that you resonate with that you can follow so you're not starting on from scratch. Number two, they got the right kind of support. They surround themselves with the right community, their peers. And ours is called a DealMaker Mastermind. But they also have experienced advisors and mentors around them as well, which is why they came through our mentoring program. And the third freedom accelerator is the right network. Okay, you got to join the right network because the right ecosystem is going to give you access to deals and capital. And you'll see here how a partnership evolved because they were in the right ecosystem. They were put together by two mentors actually. And because of that joint venture, they were both able to do a deal. One had the deal, one had the capital, and it worked out great that way. And this is really, I call these people the gazelles. These are people who have follow the right system, they get the right support, and they join the right ecosystem, the right network, and that really accelerates them. So if we study our students, for example, the average student gets their first deal on a contract in the first 6 months, and it's a $4 million deal size. And that's most people that come in the program aren't thinking they're doing a $4 million deal. They're like, well, maybe I'll do a 10 unit or something like that, but certainly not something as big as that. And it's because they follow these three freedom accelerations. That's exactly what Masha and Ahuva did as well. So let's get right in here and see how this deal came about, because there's some certain twists and turns. It was not easy to close. And let's hear directly from Masha and Ahuva. Ahuva, Masha, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You guys just did your first deal together. That is very exciting.
It is.
And people want to know how you did it, of course, because we always all want to do our first deal. So let's just rewind the clock a little bit more. Ahuva, tell us a little bit more on how you got started in real estate in the first place, all the way through to kind of what you're thinking getting into apartment buildings. Like, what did that journey look like?
So I am a mother of a very large family, and I have always run my home like a business.
Well, my wife does that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. With how many, 11 kids you have? Yeah. You have to kind of do it, you know, delegating, divide and conquer, you know, things like that.
Right. Exactly. And things need to make sense. They need to be systemized. There needs to be a process. And I am the master of economies of scale. So there's actually no way I could start with buying single family homes because it's just one. It made no sense to me. So my first building that I bought was actually a 5-unit apartment building, and that made the most sense to me. Mm-hmm. And it had a freestanding garage that could be converted into a 6th unit. So it had the value add component as well, nice. Even though the rest of the building was stabilized and newly renovated.
Before you get into the 5-unit, why in the world did you buy your mother of many, many kids? Why does a mother of many, many kids buy real estate? Why were you buying real estate? What were you trying to do?
Well, the pandemic came and my husband travels for a living. And I no longer had a lot of little children at home. And mm-hmm. I said, okay, we are way too vulnerable if we have only one source of income. We need to diversify. And I need to have multiple streams of income, therefore multiple properties. But you got to start with one.
What does your husband think about it? Did he agree with you or was he a little resistant?
He was absolutely on board. But this was my thing. He was not going to be a part of it. So I had to take the bull by the horns and just run with it, which is what I did. And I am actually surprised at how far I've come and the portfolio that I've built. And in asking him, are you surprised? And he said, no, I've believed in you long before you believed in yourself.
Isn't that interesting?
And he really did.
He really did. So yeah. So you bought this 5 units. What did you do after that?
So I self-managed that for about a year. And then I hated it. I absolutely hated it. It was so draining on my time and my energy. And then my daughter was having a baby in New York and I wanted to be there, but I had a tenant leaving. So I had to fill that unit. I thought this is not going to work. So I hired a property manager and he took over. And that was the beginning of the next stage. And I had since also purchased 2 adjacent fourplexes in St. Petersburg. And those were farther away. So I couldn't get involved. And that was such a blessing.
Yeah.
And I realized from then on, I can't be involved. I need to focus on acquiring the deals, making sure that they made sense, operating them properly, and moving forward.
Now, were you self-funding these deals or were you raising capital at the time?
No, I was self-funding. Okay. We had dabbled in real estate before. So we had a little bit of a portfolio and we had funds. I mean, we were in our 50s, so we had built up something, but we had never done real estate with a plan. There wasn't a strategy involved. Therefore, when the pandemic came, I said, okay, now we need to strategize. We need to make this work. And my thought process was that I would buy buildings under $1 million and keep pulling out the equity as
like the
I added.
Method.
Yeah, like the Burr method.
Yeah, but just with using bigger buildings.
Exactly.
That's my argument with the Burr method all the time. Why do it to a stupid house? Do it to an apartment building.
Absolutely. That was exactly where I was at. So that's what I started doing. And then, of course, there came this huge buying frenzy where everyone was overpaying for everything that they could get their hands on. And I didn't do a single deal for 18 months because nothing made sense to me. And so then I kind of switched strategies and I bought a short-term rental boutique motel in Pinellas Park, which is right near St. Petersburg, near my other properties. But it was with a completely different focus. I used hard money on that. I'm currently refinancing out of that. Then I had cash, but market was so crazy. I hated the hard money loan. And I did not want to do another hard money loan, but I had some cash. So I looked for properties in Florida that were under a certain price point and I found it. So I bought an 8-unit building and I bought the unit because I could pay cash for it. And then I minimized my risk by having my son-in-law manage the renovation.
Nice.
So that's also now fully rented and I'm just waiting for it to have a few months of runway and then I'll be able to do a cash out refi on that as well.
That's fantastic.
But we ran out of money now.
You're out of money now. Yeah. So that happens to anybody at one point.
It happens to anybody.
It was like, oh, I'm just going to self-fund my deals. And I'm like, that's good for you. That's great. But you're going to run out of money at one point.
Right.
So
this 8-unit that I bought in the center of Florida, when we went to go tour that property, I was telling the broker about the different buildings that I have. And he said, oh, yeah. And I told him I love donor financing. And he said, He goes, well, I just sold a 16-unit owner finance deal in Ocala. And I looked at him and I said, I want that deal. And he looked at me and he goes, yeah, well, I have my investors. Like, I have my people. Don't push me. And I said, okay, I'm going to lay off for now. But after we closed that deal, I said, you know what? I think I can be on your short investor list. And he said, Ahuva, I really liked working with you. I'd be happy to put you on that list.
Fantastic.
And then he did. And we've looked at a few deals since then.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he sent me this one that we eventually bought, I said, oh, I love this deal. It's like so great. It's everything I'm looking for. I just don't have the cash. I have to syndicate this.
Yeah, you have to syndicate it. And now it's well, hold your thought on that one, because I want to get into that one. That's the next phase, right? I mean, just like different phases. For phases, normally it's I'm buying a house. And then I'm buying a duplex or a quad, and you did a whole bunch of stuff,
right?
You know, self-funding. And the next one is some stuff, syndication. So interesting phases. And you kind of wonder, could I have skipped a phase? And you're like, oh, maybe I could have. In this case, you didn't, but you were able to get progressively larger deals. So we'll get to the syndication in a second. So Masha, how about you? What's your backstory with real estate? Because you've been in the real estate industry for a while.
10 years. Yeah. I've been in real estate for 10 years, and I've been mostly working with residential real estate. And I always wanted to do that. But before that, I was doing interior design. So I got into real estate because I was so attracted to things, architectural things, to the way the buildings look inside and out. And I thought, okay, let me do that. So I got into residential real estate, and I worked in Maryland, Virginia, and DC, and I continued doing this. But, you know, at some point I figured, okay, well, maybe there is something more that I can do. Because, you know, let's face it, when you work with residential clients, you never know when it's going to happen.
So you're an agent. You're a residential agent.
I'm an agent.
You're an agent. Okay. Let's, okay.
Yeah, I'm an agent.
Yes. Did you buy some any real estate as an agent as well? What kind of real estate was that?
I bought a couple of houses for myself, but for the past 2 years, it's been a kind of complicated story. I sold my house before COVID. You know, I knew what's going to come. And then I sold because I had to move overseas to Germany. My family was there, so I was supposed to support them. So I abandoned the real estate field completely. Had no idea if I could do it in Germany, most likely not. But I figured, you know what? That's the best I can do for the family. That's what matters. So let me just go, and then we'll figure it out. I didn't want to rent it out. I figured, you know, Maryland is not a landlord-friendly state. Who knows what's going to happen, right? And I heard terrible stories. And I figured, okay, let me sell it and then we'll figure it out. So I went overseas. Then I came back in about a year. I tried doing some real estate overseas, but it's a completely different scene, completely different way you do it and get into the business differently. And when I came back, it was crazy because, well, I completely missed on the COVID market. You know, I bought nothing. I knew every agent. I knew they were making a lot of money. And of course, I missed on that, right? And I came back and I frantically started picking up where I left, selling, renting, doing everything I could just, you know, to make it go again. And it worked. It was fine. But then I realized something. You know what? I also have this, but maybe that's another piece of story that we can touch upon, because that was about the money that I had in my pension fund. You know, I was wondering, do I do real estate with that somehow? But then how? Is there a way to do it? And I was looking for types of things that you can invest in. And I certainly knew I don't want to go into stock market because I've done it before. I lost a bunch of money and I just didn't want to do it again. But I just asked a friend and they suggest, oh, why don't you move it to one of those institutions everyone is aware of? And there is a 60-40 plan. Why don't you move your Roth IRA into that plan? And it's going to take you 10 years, but, you know, you're just committed to making money. So eventually you'll get where you want to be because you can probably double it. Well, we don't know for sure, but maybe. But it's 10 years. I'm like, no. I don't want to do that. But do I have a choice at this point? Probably I have to do it. And the moment I moved the money, I started losing it. Like $1,000 a day. I'm like, oh my God, this is not supposed to happen. What did I do? I was so not smart of me. It's not me. Got to do something. And that's when I started researching and found multifamily. And I figured, well, maybe I can shift the money into multifamily.
Now, how did you get there though? Because you skipped all of Ahuva's steps.
Oh yeah.
So why did you go from brokering to maybe having a couple rentals? Oh, I have a great idea. Let's get it right in apartment buildings. Like you skipped a few like mental steps.
Well, that's the thing, because I didn't have enough money to buy anything at that point. You know, I left for Germany. I sold my house. I only had so much money to buy maybe another property, which was actually, that's what I did when I came back. I purchased a condo and I rented it out right away. But I myself was renting because there was absolutely no properties on the market when I came back where I could land. So I rented and then I bought the condo. So I was renting that out, but that's about it. You know, I couldn't go too far. I didn't have enough cash. And I heard about other people's money that you can actually buy something like multifamily buildings, you know, apartment buildings with other people's money. So I dug into this a little bit, but I didn't have enough money to start the journey. I thought, okay, I must put a lot of money into this myself still. Maybe I have enough, maybe I don't. And I just realized, okay, well, let me learn a little bit. I bought your book because I saw that somewhere, you know, because I started doing the research. It was floating on Facebook.
It's yellow.
Yeah. It's yellow. It's very bright. So I bought it. And, you know, I read it and I realized, okay, maybe I just need to get a little more education. Maybe I can find other people who have money and that's where we can do something together. So, and I thought also, Masha, you know, you're doing residential real estate. You never know when a deal is going to come up. So that's kind of transactional what I'm doing. And I'm doing it mostly for other people. And I can only get money when I sell a property to someone else. But would it be enough for me to purchase something? I don't know. You know, I have to be creative about financing a property. Yeah, and that's when the whole thing came about.
So you had some money that you could have put into a rental property. And instead, you decided to kind of invest in yourself. And you invested in education. Exactly. You basically hired a mentor, a full-time syndicator who's raised millions of dollars. And the question always comes, you know, what should I do with this money? Should I, in fact, buy a rental property or should I do something that you did? I have a perspective on this, but why did you decide to do that?
So remember, I bought the condo. So I bought one piece of property, but of course, it can only get me so far. And as I researched, I realized that there are groups of people who are learning together and actually doing deals together that I can, and I could join one of those groups. So it's only a matter of researching which group. Mm-hmm. And I see that people do have successes with those deals and quite quickly, you know, much better than, you know, what was happening with my 10-year plan for 401k, you know. And I realized also that, okay, it looks like you can be a completely passive investor, but you can also be an active investor. So because I had a little bit of money to still put in somewhere, I researched a deal and I saw someone coming online with a webinar and she sounded legit, you know, and I figured, why not invest in that deal? You know, it looks like that person can deliver. I can trust them. They've had multiple businesses. They have several kids, you know. Everything seems to be running smoothly. So I invested as an LP first in a 232 unit deal in Mississippi, of all places. I had no idea. It was actually a little shocking to me that, you know, oh my God, this is Mississippi. Never even been there. How am I doing this? But it sounds like, you know, it works. So I knew enough just to do that. But then beyond that, I questioned myself, what am I going to do next? So I have only so little money left. And it looks like I need to continue education. You know, let me invest. And I heard people saying, invest in yourself, invest in yourself. The market is turning. So if you invest in yourself, you know, you're going to get return on your investment for sure, because the world will just open up to you on what else you can do with your knowledge.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's what I did. And it's led to your first deal as well. Yeah. Speaking of which, so let's get back to Ahuva here. So you're doing all these, you're buying these smaller apartment buildings, you're self-funding them, and now you're like, oh crap, I ran out of money. What do I do now?
So I have to just kind of back up a little bit, because I was approached to be an LP in a deal back in 21. I think initially they intended to hold it for longer, but they felt like the market was changing. They had kind of executed their business plan. Things had changed. It was only an 18-month hold, but I got out of it. And I also used my self-directed Roth IRA to fund it. And I made like a 30% return on that. And I was like, wow, this is fantastic. So I invested again with more funds to be able to be an LP in more deals. And then I'm looking at the numbers and I'm evaluating them again. I'm going, I'm on the wrong side. I want the GP side. And then I made a decision, a strategic decision, that I would invest as an LP only using my self-directed IRA funds. And I would invest as a GP using my other funds. So that was a calculated move that I made. But then I needed to find out how to do that, because I felt that that was what was really going to be the most profitable. In the meantime, I had put a 16-unit motel under contract. And in doing so, I realized that I was completely in a different realm of everything, financing. And I decided that was when, if I'm going to do bigger things, I need to do it with somebody on my team. So that's when I investigated the mentorship programs. I actually looked around at quite a few. And the reason why I chose yours was because you guarantee that I would do a deal. So I felt that the funds that I was investing in the mentorship program, it was an investment. It was not an expense. And I think that that was huge. And I have one thing that I need to come clean about is that I only told my husband last night how much I paid. But at this juncture, he said it was worth it.
It was worth it.
It was worth it because I've gotten back so much more than I invested. It was a great return on my investment, which is why I made it.
Hey, are you tired of the stock market volatility or feeling like there's more you can do with your money? Do you dream of owning your real estate but not sure where to start? Now, here's the thing. You're not alone about this, and it's not your fault. There's so many options out there, from wholesaling, flipping, to landlording, and turnkeys. Like, which one should you do? Which one's right to you if you want to get into real estate? And the truth is, none of the things I just mentioned will actually make you financial free and put you on a strong financial footing. But not to worry. I have a solution for you, a new idea perhaps, if you're open to new ideas. And that is the following. That we have found that the number one way to fast track your journey to financial freedom, build wealth, and retire is through apartment building investing. Now, you're probably thinking, that's great, Michael, but I don't have the experience or the money to get into apartments. And the good news is that you don't need previous experience or a bunch of money in a bank to get started. And I can say this with confidence because we've helped so many people of all walks of life do their first deal and become financially free. In fact, we've helped students close over $1.5 billion in real estate. Now, if you're skeptical, that's okay. If you're skeptical is fine, but you're open to this new idea, then let's have a conversation. Go to themichaelblank.com/call and schedule a strategy session to explore working with us, like so many others have before you as well. We're really excited to guide you on this journey, and don't let fear or disbelief or what you think is possible hold you back. Remember, the only thing standing between financial freedom is action. And this is the one thing I want you to do right now is go to themichaelblank.com/call and schedule that call with us. It may be the most exciting call that you'll have all year. Let's do this.
That's right. I mean, typically my own experience, when I invest in myself, I get at least a 10x ROI easily. And then at the same time, when I don't invest in my education or a mentor, it doesn't go well for me. It didn't go well for me. And with restaurants, it didn't go that well for me for my first apartment building either, because I didn't have a mentor either. I did have a mentor in house flipping though, and that went amazingly good.
And it was so, just too much work.
It was too much work. If one has money to invest, the best investment is yourself. Yeah, it's always like that. So you got across this deal here. Now, at one point, how did you guys link up then? Did we kind of connect you with each other, or how did that work out?
Well, we were on a mentoring call, and actually it had been almost a year since I had been in the program. And I was kind of thinking, okay, Ahuva, let's go back to square one. I had kind of taken a hiatus from the mentorship calls, and I went, I'm going to go on the mentorship call. And I went on the mentorship call, and I had discussed with my mentor also. I said to him, I said, you know what? I'm doing deals. I'm making money. Maybe syndication's just not for me. Maybe I would be better just focusing on doing what I know how to do. And I came on the call and I kind of put that out there to everybody. I said, listen, I'm doing deals. I have 5 apartment buildings in Florida. You know, I'm going to have a refi soon. I'm going to pull out cash. I'm going to go buy something else. Maybe I don't need syndication.
What'd they say?
And Masha was sitting there. Oh, and then I said, maybe, but on the other hand, maybe I'm selling myself short. Maybe I am capable of doing a syndication, and yet I just don't believe in myself the way I need to. And Masha reached out and she said, of course you can do it. And she actually reached out to me privately, and we scheduled a time to meet on Zoom. And she told me a little bit about her background, and I told her a little bit about mine. And she said that she loves to underwrite, and she said she has a capital partner. She says, we have everything in place. We just can't find a deal.
Yeah, we've been looking and looking and looking, and nothing was penciled. It was so frustrating.
Right.
Yeah. And so, even a few deals that Hoover kind of threw my way, you know, you want to look at them. I looked at them
Nothing worked.
Until that one day.
Until I was actually on vacation in January, and I got this email, and I'm looking at it, and I'm going, gosh, I wish I could do this. And I'm literally thinking that I don't have the cash because I have two refinances that I'm waiting for. And then I went, no, wait a minute. I can send this to Masha. Maybe we can take this deal down with the three of us.
Right.
And I sent it to her and she underwrote it. And we looked at it and we were like, okay, I don't know why, but this makes sense. And then we're like, okay, so we got to speak to our mentors. So we showed it to our mentors and they're like, this is a really great deal. And we ended up having to make some calls, like to verify the information. This is a small market. So we had to make sure it was a robust market as we were thinking it was. We made some calls. We verified the information. We went back to our mentors and said, okay, this is what we found out. This is how it's penciling. This is what, and they're going, no, it's a good deal. And then we tried to kill it. We did everything.
Many, many times.
We tried to do this and we just could not kill this deal.
We couldn't believe that apartments can be so much under the market rate. You know, they were $250 at the very least, at the most conservative underwriting below the market rate.
So
that was amazing.
Yeah. And we just tried to kill it. And then when we realized we could not kill it, we said, okay, we're going to go. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
And we put in an offer and we waited.
And while we waited.
Oh, gosh. And while we waited.
Someone showed up.
Yeah.
And they also wanted to put in an offer. And unfortunately, what we learned that person is like, you know, the backstory, because you're connected to the broker, right?
Yeah.
So he's saying, listen, this guy, he actually says, I'll have $100,000 go hard the moment that we go under contract.
Tough to compete with.
No way.
So we had
We had to pivot.
We had to. We really had to pivot. So we actually did put down $100,000 that went hard day one. But then we were so committed. There was nothing that was going to happen that was going to prevent us from getting this deal.
Right.
We were so focused.
Yeah.
And we had to close in 30 days. But because the owner was giving us financing, we did not have to go through a bank. We did not
ask about that. 30 days was pretty tight.
But it was a tight schedule. In those 30 days, we had to set up the platform. We had to get the lawyer, all the syndication documentation done. We had to raise the funds. I don't think anybody slept that month. We were so focused on getting this done. It was so stressful. But we did it.
Did it. Yeah. Amazing, right? Yeah.
And we just couldn't believe it. And I have to tell you one thing. When I left the bank, and I had finished wiring the funds, which were delayed for a day, but that's a whole different story. When I left that bank, I called the broker and I said to him, now I want to be your number one investor. He said, Huva, you are my number one investor. So I know I'm going to get more deals.
You are. And that's
just
why the law of the first deal works so far, because in that broker's mind, they're like, okay, she's a
Huva closes.
She's a closer.
Right.
That's right. You get a t-shirt, a Huva closes on that. And this is really the power of the joint venturing in this business, right? Because it perfectly solves a problem. You were looking at deals, Amasha, you were looking at deals at the same time, but you also had a capital partner, right? So you kind of solve the money problem a little bit. And so there are two roles in a syndication. There's the capital raiser and there's a deal finder. In this particular case, you and your partner were like capital raisers because you had access to capital. And they have a problem, which they need to deal with, which you had. And you were more on the deal finding side and you needed capital. So you put them together. And so, you know, this is why I love this business. This is also why, the way, this can happen so quickly. Because if you were either on your own trying to make this deal happen, you'd still be looking for your first capital and you'd still be looking for your first deal.
That's right.
And this is what's really special about multifamily space, is because we can put two people together and solve a problem for both of them. And that's why it's in our environment, you know, the average student gets the first deal on a contract in about, I think, 6 months, $4 million deal. And it's because of the education mentoring, but it's also because of the power of the network as well that you guys definitely tapped into. So it's a fantastic story. What's each of your advice to someone listening, watching this right now, and you're like, they haven't done a deal yet, they haven't raised any money yet? What's your one piece of advice that you have for that person?
Take action.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, people have limiting beliefs.
Mm-hmm. That's right, which keeps them from taking
exactly,
action.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And you just need to overcome that.
Well, how? That's so easily said than done.
I know.
I don't think I can do this. I'm not good enough.
Well,
I can't raise money.
That's what you tell yourself, right? So you see that there is something that you need to do. You need to just step forward, make a decision. And I would say just do it. Just invest in yourself. Because if you feel you can't do something on your own, then what's the next step? Then you need to ask someone to help you. You can read a book, you can read many books, and you can continue reading. But that's a piece of the story. Mm-hmm. You know, how to apply what you've read, that's the next component that has to happen. And it doesn't happen all by itself. So if you feel that you know enough, but you don't know how to implement it, I would say, well, get a mentor and just, you know, maybe they will help you. And they actually do, because my story shows that. And I had no idea that that would be possible. And also, if you're used to working on your own, which that's what I've been doing, and that's what Ahuva has been doing, and that's what JD was doing, you know, that our other partner who helped with capital raise quite a bit. But then we realized we cannot just do things on our own endlessly. You know, if we want to do something big, then we have to join forces with someone who probably has complementary skills. And that's exactly what happened. So if
you know, it was really interesting to see also, because we got this deal under contract. Masha and I had never met.
You just met in person here at Dealmaker Live.
We were Zoom friends, right?
Yeah, Zoom
and
buddies,
JD
yeah.
also. But there was just something that made us committed to make this work. And as the deal progressed, we kind of each found our groove. Everybody had a different thing that they were good at, and we just adopted that and took it upon. And because we were so committed to the outcome, the process was just like, okay, you do this, you do that. Okay, I'm doing this. And we got it done because we were so committed.
Yes.
And you know, on the mindset, there's a saying that says, if you think you can or you think you can't, either way, you're right.
So true.
And it really embodies what control our mind has over what we eventually do, because we can tell ourselves anything and that will become our reality. So by telling ourselves that we have unlimited potential and that the things that hold us back are really obstacles that are there to make us grow. Failure is not a failure. It never is. It's a learning opportunity. It's growth. And, you know, I've lost money in the past on different things, but it made me a better investor. It made me more conscious of how hard it takes for me to get this money. And as a result, there's a different mindset embarking on something like this. And committed to the result really helped us. We had a no-fail option.
Right.
We were going to make this, because we couldn't afford to lose $100,000.
No, absolutely not.
So we were going to make it happen, and we did.
But also when we joined mentorship and started going to those meetups online sessions, we realized that the people who are teaching us how to do things, they've been through this so many times over. They made their mistakes already. So we're so lucky to be in this, because we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We just follow through the steps. We continuously underwrite, and eventually we'll get there. Yes, it does take a little more time, but every single thing you do in multifamily space, I learned as a realtor, you know, a residential realtor, that residential is very transactional, and you never know when you're going to hit that, you know, goal that you set for yourself. Could be years, right? But in commercial space, it's different, especially in the apartment building syndications, because you know exactly, like, thanks, you know, to the program and the blueprint that you provide, you know exactly what you need to do. And until you reach, you know, a certain level, you're not going to the next thing, you know, and you just follow that map. You follow that direction and you work for yourself, basically. So you want to have that, you continue investing yourself, your time, your energy, and you know that eventually you'll get there. So there is not a single step is a waste. Not a single moment is a waste.
It's been a lot of fun. How can people connect with you too?
Oh, that's very easy. I'm always on Facebook, and I can provide an email.
Go ahead and provide it on the air.
Okay, sure. It's crustfulhomes@gmail.com. That's my real estate business, residential real estate. And I'm on Facebook as Masha Kruskal. So I'll be happy to connect with anyone who has any questions.
And I'm on LinkedIn. And my email address is ahuva, A-H-U-V-A, at movaproperties.com, which is M-O-V-A, properties.com.
Fantastic. We'll put all that in the show notes as well. Hey, it's been a real pleasure having your show. Thank you for sharing your amazing story with us.
Thank you for providing the opportunity for us to have this amazing story.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks so much.
All right. So again, if you want to be a gazelle and you want to get a bigger deal done faster, then follow the free freedom accelerators, right? Just find the right system. Don't reinvent the wheel. Just surround yourself with the right group of people, both your peers and more experienced advisors and mentors, and connect with the right network like Masha and Ahuva did as well. If you'd like to have a conversation with us, we'd love to have a conversation with you about maybe working with us in a similar way that Masha and Ahuva did perhaps. So check us out at themichaelblank.com/call. It's a no obligation call to explore what it would look like to work with us. And it might be the right thing for us. And we'd love to have that conversation with you if we can help you along your journey to financial freedom with real estate. If all of this sounds a little bit too much for you and you'd rather just invest passively, or maybe you'd like to do a little of both. Maybe you'd like to get started actively, and maybe you'd like to actually invest passively. We'd love to have a conversation with you on the Nighthawk side, which is our investment firm, Nighthawk Equity. So for that, hop on over to nighthawkequity.com. And just schedule a call with us. We'd love to have a conversation with you about some of our upcoming opportunities as well. So hopefully you were inspired today by Masha's and Ahuva's story. Get out there and let's get that deal done.
Thanks for listening. Take the next step toward financial freedom by enrolling in the number one apartment investing course on the market. The Apartments 101 Masterclass will give you proven strategies to buy your first apartment building with no money down. Sign up for free lifetime access to learn how to close your first deal in as little as 180 days. Head over to apartments101.co to start your free training. That's apartments101.co.